podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Dave Hendon. Welcome to the Snooker Scene Podcast. I hope you've been enjoying the World Championship. We've got, 5 days to go down to the semi-finals. I think it's been absolutely terrific. Obviously, it was a big disappointment that the crowds had to be sent home after day one. But the quality of the snooker, the drama, the stories, bit of controversy here and there as well, just been absolutely terrific. And I'm sure it's going to be, whoever wins now, a fantastic final 5 days. This is a bonus podcast because I had a chat with Marcel Eckhart. Now, he's from Germany. He's just 30 years of age. He's going to become the youngest person to referee the World Championship final on Saturday and Sunday. I sat down with Marcel at the World Championship qualifiers just a couple of weeks ago in Sheffield. At that point, we weren't quite sure exactly what to expect of the Crucible, but we didn't even really know if the whole thing was going to be played or not. Both maybe a little bit cautious about exactly how it was going to go. But I know Marcel is really looking forward to donning the white gloves and refereeing the final, his first world final. Now, you could argue that, you know, maybe it would have been better for them to give it him next year when everything's back to normal, there's a crowd in. Problem is, we don't know everything will be back to normal, actually. It's going to be a big occasion. And as he says in the interview, you know, he becomes the person who referees this World Championship final in this circumstance. I know everyone's very proud that the tournament went ahead. Again, World Snooker Tour and their partners have done a fantastic job. So much work that people don't see has gone on behind the scenes just to get this championship on. And Marcel, as you'll hear, very dedicated, very good referee. That's the bottom line. Thoroughly deserves the chance to come out and referee the final. As I say, I sat down with him just a couple of weeks ago, and this is what he thought about the chance to go out and realise his ambition. Everyone wants to play in a world final. Everyone wants to win one. But if you're a referee, everyone wants to referee one.
Marcel, congratulations. You're refereeing the world final. How do you feel?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, great, obviously. One of the best things you can achieve in this game, I believe, as a referee, obviously, and feel great. Was a big thing when I found out, and a big honour, and I can't wait to do it.
Mm. How did you find out? What happens? Does someone ring you up? Does someone take you to one side?
The first guy who told me was Mike Kenley, our tournament director. He phoned me and informed me, but obviously when for the original days of the tournament, we received a letter with the our days we're supposed to stay, and obviously that gives you some kind of a clue. Me doing the semi-final last year, now I knew, I found out that I'm going to do 18 days at the Crucible again this year. That gave me some kind of a clue. Yeah,
you knew you'd be there to the end, so it was a good chance.
There was a good chance, yeah. I thought about it, but obviously it's not guaranteed, and especially it wasn't guaranteed after what's happening at the moment. Mm. And still, it feels like it's some kind of provisional league, because obviously you don't know what can happen. The worst thing that could happen would be like, obviously I flew over from Germany, and let's say if the guy next to me on the plane is getting tested positive, and obviously I don't know what's going to happen then, but that would be a nightmare, obviously.
I mean, you've done, I think, a UK final already. Did you feel that, and like you've done the one table last year, did you feel that it would come this soon? Because obviously you're going to be the youngest referee to do it.
Obviously at some stage you start dreaming about it, or thinking about it at least. It's the match you want to do as a professional referee. And if you achieved certain things throughout your career, you want to step up, obviously. But I always thought, like, if I keep doing what I do, that the day is going to come at some stage. I never put myself under pressure time-wise. But obviously, it means a lot to me to achieve it now. Yeah.
You always seem quite cool, but do you think you'll be nervous? It is a big deal. Obviously, it's always a big deal for the players just to play in it, but like you say, for a referee, that is the pinnacle. That's the sort of top thing you can do. You're not going to know till you get out there. But do you think you'll be nervous?
I'm personally quite happy with the way I cope with pressure. I don't really feel it, like, let's say, let's call them normal matches. But I know from my fellow referees, even Brendan Moore, he's always keep saying, like, he's never nervous. But when he did his finals, I should say, he felt the pressure before the match and while he walked out. But then the pressure went off, and I hope I'm going to be the same, because obviously when you're out there supposed to referee, you shouldn't really think about those kind of things about who's watching and how many people are watching, and just do your stuff, really.
Well, I guess that's the thing. When the match starts, you just have to start concentrating, don't you? In a way, you can't afford to be thinking about anything else because you've got a job to do.
Absolutely, and I think that what's going to happen, and
You mentioned Brendan. I mean, would you sort of seek advice from anyone who's done the final before? Because obviously there's some experienced referees around.
I think those kind of conversations are going to happen at some stage during the event. I believe I know what I'm doing anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, I just expect some kind words, this kind of stuff. It's not like that I expect them to give me some more advices, obviously, because I'm doing it because I'm considered to be able to do it. So it shouldn't really be the case that I need further advices.
Sure. What did you learn from the one table last year? You did a semi-final. I guess firstly, there's just more space for the referee, isn't there, when the wall comes up?
Yeah. Just a one table set up at the Crucible, some very special occasion. Very, very nice feeling because you know how the focus is going to be on that match, on that table. So, yeah, learned quite a lot of it. I thought it was a great experience to do that. It was a great match. Even went to a decider, which was, I thought, incredible. As a referee, you can call yourself lucky if it goes the distance under such circumstances. And, I believe it was a very good preparation for this year as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was Higgins-Gilbert, wasn't it? And it felt like a final, like you say, it went to a decider. And, of course, when you get into the final session and it's close, the crowd are getting involved. So, in a way, it's a sort of bit of an apprenticeship for the final itself, because actually, you know, that semi-final was better than some finals have been in terms of drama.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And also, like, how it works with us is, like, when you first, obviously, you do your first Crucible, you doing your maybe a quarter final, and then you're getting awarded the semi final, and it's just like a ladder where you step up on. Mm. And so, yeah, very good.
How did you discover snooker then?
I started watching snooker in 2005. Obviously, I started following it on German Eurosport, which is our main podcast in Germany for the snooker. And somehow I kept watching and fall in love, and in 2008 I started my first referee course because I found out that I love explaining to people, explaining the rules, and obviously you should only do that if you know what you're talking about. And yeah, that's how everything started.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to go into refereeing. I mean, did you must have played as well, did you, or did you feel that actually, I'm not gonna threaten to break into the pro ranks?
No, well, where I come from in Germany, we don't really had any kind of snooker table. I didn't have any access to a snooker table. There was like a kind of casino, but I would have only been allowed to go there from the age of 18, obviously. So I had nothing. But here and there, I played on American pool, which is actually the thing that I play. I haven't picked up cue since January, in fact, but which is obviously down to the coronavirus. But when I play, I usually play the American pool, like 9-ball, 10-ball sort of thing, straight pool. But here and there, I play snooker as well. Obviously, I know how to play. At the end of the day, it's about potting balls into some corners.
Yeah. So a lot of people listening might be interested in becoming a referee. Like, what is the process, and what was your process?
Yeah, well, as I said, in 2008, I believe it was February, I did my very first refereeing course back in Germany. And obviously, once you've done that, it's like you're going through, it's a weekend course. You're going through the rule book, obviously, learn everything about it from an assessor. And then the next day, you actually do your exam first. And if you pass that, on the next day, you do like a practical test on the table, at the table during a match, in fact, which is usually like a club match or whatever the circumstances allow. And then the main thing to do is like gain more and more experience as a referee. that's the main thing. And what I did was I traveled a lot in Germany first, obviously on a local basis. Like I drove a lot on the train and spent a lot of time on trains and cars to get to tournaments, because as I said, in my region there weren't a lot of snooker tournaments. So I had to travel a lot, which I enjoyed and put a lot of effort into it. And that effort was recognized by other people, so they supported me and pushed me kind of forward in Germany. So I appreciate them a lot, obviously. And very quickly I refereed at the German championship. Refereed finals there on national level and sort of things. And in 2010, then Barry Hearn came in and introduced lots of new tournaments. Especially European referees, they benefited of it, because more tournaments means more matches, and more matches means they need more referees. I personally see myself as someone who benefited of those circumstances. And from 2010, I never stopped working for World Snooker, and here I am.
Yeah, and of course, one of the events that came along was the German Masters in Berlin, which was obviously ideal for you, and you got to referee at the Tempodrome, which is a pretty amazing venue in its own right. So you gained a lot of experience in front of a big crowd there.
Yeah, the Tempodrome is a very special place for me myself. I moved there and moved to Berlin in 2014. I think the very first year of the German Masters was 2011, and I've got quite nice memories of the event, obviously doing my very first final, my main final, I should say, in 2015, which is got to be considered as a very special moment in my career as an achievement. Very good memories. Even the first year when I've been there, I've only done the marking job in 2011, which was still quite an immense experience. And looking back, it's amazing. Looking back on myself, I find it quite amazing the way how everything went, how it developed, and very, very happy about everything.
What was it like sort of coming into the snooker world? Because you would have seen a lot of the sort of top players on television, and you've come in at quite a young age, and then suddenly you're in the middle there taking charge of their matches. Was it nerve-wracking at first, or did you sort of take to it?
Obviously, it took time to get into the very special environment. But you're getting used to it, I believe, and nowadays it's just like I feel like a part of the family. Obviously, we all usually you are the same people every day at the tournament, and so it feels like a family, especially with the fellow referees. But it takes time, I agree, and nowadays it's just like feels very special though to be part of the circuit.
What's a referee's sort of routine? You know, we think about players that are playing, I don't know, at 1 o'clock, they're going to have to get up at a certain time, practice at a certain time. What's the referee's routine? Say the match is at one. When do you get there? What do you actually do?
Before Corona, we would usually arrive at the venue, like, let's say, an hour before. We get ourselves ready, like, dress ourselves up, and maybe a bit by the food. Then we're supposed to set up our table half an hour before. Obviously, we've got to check all the equipment, got to prepare players' tables with wets and dries and bottle of waters. We've got to check the table, whether everything is all right. We've got to prepare the scoreboard as well. And usually that takes around, 5 to 10 minutes maximum. Once we've done that, we're supposed to find the two players, tell them that we are their referee, that we are in charge of the match, and tell them the meeting point, obviously the time to meet, and then usually be at the meeting point 5 minutes before that agreed time, and then at some stage the tournament director says, thank you referees, take your players through please, and that's what we do, and then we are on our own.
And what are you sort of, what's in your pockets? You know, we see you with those big blazers on. Obviously, your ball marker, I suppose, is one thing. What else have you got going on in there?
I've got two ball markers. Right. I know certain referees wear a lot more ball markers, but I won't mention any names. So, just two ball markers. One is for cleaning balls, and the other one is for measuring spots. Mm. And I've also got a coin, obviously, to for the toss at the start of the match, or one, and if in case a respotted black comes up. Mm. But it's all I got, three pieces, and then yeah, nothing else, and nothing should disturb myself apart from the usual stuff that I need.
And I've always wondered this. Referees, obviously, they wear the gloves. Now, you must get through a lot of gloves during the year. How many pairs of gloves would you get through during the season? Where do you get them from?
I personally get them from, at the moment, well, it is actually very, very tough to get them, especially ones that are affordable. And because here in the UK, let's say, you get those kind of gloves for 15 euros or even more, which is quite a lot if you take in consideration the amount of gloves you need. But usually one pair of gloves I can use for one or maybe two seasons, depends. Usually I downgrade them, and it depends on their status. Mm. because they get some kind of bluing once you use them. But nowadays I receive my gloves from Peggy Lee from China. She is able to provide us with gloves when we see her. But usually you use one pair of gloves for one match, and then they go to the washing, and yeah.
Okay. And of course, like, snooker's on TV a lot now, not just obviously in the UK, but as you said, in your own country, Germany, around Europe, around the world. Do you find yourself now getting recognised? Are you sort of now a sort of celebrity as such?
Not at all, I think. Just like, especially because when you are, even if I am at the snooker venue, people don't really recognise you when you are in your normal normal clothing.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. But I only had one time when someone recognized me on the underground, in fact, in Berlin, which I thought even made like selfies, which was like a first one, and that probably never going to happen again. Well, never is a long time, but no, I'm saying it's just, it feels good, obviously, but I don't really feel like a celebrity. No, obviously, we're giving autographs, people asking us for autographs, when we are at the venue, but other than that, it just feels very normal. Never had a situation where I've been where I felt uncomfortable or anything. It's just not at all. I can do my shopping whenever I like. Let's take it that way.
That's good to know. Well, but of course your status may go up after doing the final, I guess, though. Possibly can't have sort of friends and family come over, because you can't have friends and family come over because, obviously, I guess they may feel it's not safe or the situation. So you're probably going to be on your own as such.
Yeah, in fact, Mike Kenley offered me to bring one family member over. Mm. But I said to him, I'm going to think about it. But right now, as it stands, probably because of the situation, obviously, everyone can understand that it's not the best thing to do right now. It's probably not worth it. But I would love to have someone here, but even I've got to take in consideration that because it is my first one, obviously, it is very special. And I personally, if I'm 100% honest, I don't really mind it, that that I can focus on the work I do. Mm. And if someone would come over, would have been their first time in the UK, and I don't really need to look after them. So yeah. that's kind of makes it a bit easier to get through those couple of days that might turn out the most important days of my career so far.
Sure. And it's going to be a very different setup, a unique setup. Obviously, there is going to be an audience, but it's not going to be full. It's not ideal. I guess, I suppose you want it to be full, but the point is you're still doing the world final. It's still as important as ever.
No, absolutely. World final is a world final for me. It doesn't matter how many. Obviously, it's down to the circumstances, but it doesn't matter to me that we've only got like a third or half crowd in there. I believe people are still going to watch it on television, and probably even more nowadays with like less sport, live sport, that's broadcasted. So you might have an argument that there might be even more pressure because of more people might turn in.
Yeah. Mm. did you kind of thought when you started out, you know, getting into refereeing, that at the age of 30 you'd be refereeing the world final? It's a big deal, isn't it, this?
Yeah, obviously. Well, when I first when I started in 2008, I never thought about getting to the stage where I am now, obviously, which would have been crazy. I still remember that someone was actually saying to me, when we talked about it, the future, we had a conversation and he said, like, oh, it's impossible for us to get through, or we're never going to do it. Well, it turns out that, as I said earlier, never is a, not as long as as we thought back then. Yeah, it's just incredible, really, how everything turned out, and especially the age where I am now. Sorry to Paul Collier, but I'm going to be, provisionally, I'm going to be the youngest referee who's going to take charge of the final, and which is quite a special thing, the much more special thing than being the first German to do it. Because, obviously, because being German is just like a thing that you're getting... Mm. It's not a choice you have, it's just a case. Being a referee, at a young age, you've got to work. You've got to put all the efforts in. But if you get the reward as a young referee, means like you've done something right.
Mm. Wish you all the best with it. Congratulations, and I hope you enjoy it.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Marcel. Cheers.
Thank you. Sports Social Podcast Network.